Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Sinking is what this family has just been doing around the family meal. Sinking is that technological term of bringing together the data connections of compatible devices so that like an iPhone and an iPad may communicate with each other, updating information. With whatever your mobile device is, there are always updates to be given. It's the updates of the operating system for your technology. Staying in sync is essential in this technological world in which we live, but there's nothing new about that, is there? It's always the update around communication. Adam and Eve had a communication problem there in the Garden of Eden. Their communication problem just led to more and more problems because they couldn't get themselves synced with each other in light of God until a lot of damage had been done. The stakes are really high about how well we sync with each other. We will sink if we don't sink, if you will. And the gift of what it means for us to come into worship on Sunday morning, this is a time in which together we're saying we need a sync update with God. For the week that you've lived, the highs and the lows, the week that's in front of you with celebrations to be had and challenges for which you do not know the answer, God is here to greet you in this Holy Spirit, to make Jesus clear for you as the Savior and Lord, to let his creative power to be there for you so that you're ready to go ahead in your life while you also let him heal and strengthen the past of your life. The most happy people in our world are those for whom the grace of God has given us peace from our past. We've placed the future of our lives into God's hoping hands so we're not afraid. Then we're able to be fully present in the now because we're not looking back over our shoulders and we're not hiding from the future. We're truly here now. That's sinking our lives. In the two verses that Angelica and Steve read for us, in these verses of two small psalms, they're kind of throwaway chapters of the Bible. That means we don't pay much attention to them. Maybe like all those meals that your mother prepared for you, peanut butter sandwiches and meatloaf, and it's maybe hard to go back and recall the specific meals. I remember around my mother's graveside service, we were gathered there at Bernie, and each of us as children spoke, and we all were in agreement that Mother was not the best cook, but she cooked because she loved us. And cooking because she loved us made her all of her meals delicious. It is the power in the sense of how we see our lives. So in these two chapters, if we don't simply overlook them, if we don't simply cast them aside because they're not Psalm 23 or Psalm 51, but we let them speak a message, then we see in the ordinary an extraordinary promise of God. Like when the psalmist would say, "This is the day the Lord," say it with me, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That in each day there is uniqueness if we're willing to see it, even if all the days seem to merge together. But if we pay attention to them, they each have their own distinctive role in our life. And so in these few verses, it speaks to us about the blessing of God that comes through the love of God that enables us to know the power of perfect love in the life of our family. So The family who pursues a long and joyful obedience in God's direction knows the blessing of perfect love. Say it with me. The family who pursues a long and joyful obedience in God's direction knows the blessing of perfect love. Now, these two psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. They were spoken, they were sung by families making their journey up to the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus' family, Mary and Joseph, traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover, would have called out these two psalms. They're ascending up into Jerusalem, ascending into the temple, preparing themselves for that worship experience. And the power of that is they're looking up into God, who's looking into their lives and saying to them, I love you. I'm glad you're coming for worship. Now, this long and joyful obedience in God's direction blesses us with perfect love. It's important to understand what perfect means in the Bible. That's where we're going to focus in, of allowing the promises of God be your pathway in life so the problems of your life can be answered by God's blessing of perfect love. Now, I'm not going to ask for people to raise your hands because I'm afraid Vicky might raise her hand. But maybe your marriage hasn't been all that you'd hope for it to be. And what do you do? I'm not going to ask parents to raise their hand because your children may be in the room with you. But what if parenting hasn't been all that you hoped it would be? And sons and daughters, what if you at times you've wondered about your parents? Rachel? The sense of knowing that this perfect love speaks to us when we have the oops and the ohs and I didn't know it'd be like this kind of moments in our life, that God can then do his best work. God's here in your life working today to do his best work in your life so that your life can be the best going forward in light of who you are, in light of your family, in light of your friends as family. So first, in the Psalms of Ascent, they're headed up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. They're headed in God's direction. Teleos is the Greek word that means that we are headed in a direction. Like a telescope, you look through the scope in a certain direction to see what there is to see with the power of magnification. Headed in God's direction magnifies a pathway by which God wants to show us a winning love. What God is always wanting to reveal to you individually in your life, in the life of your relationships, your talent, your treasures, in your family life, is to be able to see with a scope vision a winning love, his winning love for you, and how it is that his winning love can be a part of your winning ways in the world, but it requires to trust in him. Psalm 133:3 put it this way, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forever. Blessing is the biblical word about giving power. It's giving a provision of God's presence that will empower us in our life. God gives us his blessing by letting our life have purpose in a direction towards him. And the more consistently we head our life in God's direction, the more we can experience the benefit of a joyful, loving obedience by being with him. And there are all kinds of disturbances that happen along the way that will seek to distract us, anger, disappointment, grief, resentment, criticism. And yet, if we stay that direction, at times maybe slipping, occasionally falling, maybe even kind of missing a turn in the road, but getting back into that direction, then just like on the Psalm of Ascent headed towards Jerusalem, we find our way. I think right now, and I see in our family room, David Thompson and Caleb, his son, they're in there. There's a beautiful father-son, Diana's their mother and wife, and the beautiful daughter, Rachel, who's at Yale Divinity School. One of David's parents just passed away this week. And Caleb is not born like the rest of us, but he's uniquely and beautifully born. And there in our family room, it just kind of caught my eye. It's this beautiful picture about a father and son. They're headed in God's direction. In the moments of great joy and great difficulty, you look at the Thompsons and see that's the direction that they're going. How about you? Are you headed in God's direction? Secondly, the word perfect means that we are teleos, we're headed in God's direction, but secondly, it means that we're being shaped. It's shaped like the cornerstone of the temple. It's shaped when each stone was made to be fitted with the other stones that made the structure, and then the cornerstone is that one stone, like the keystone in an arch, that holds it all together. The word perfect means that God is working to shape your life, your relationships, your family in the circumstances which are there. And you may think your circumstances cannot be reshaped, but remember, God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He made every person and every relationship. He has built each one with the promise of DNA into our soul. God has the power to shape us if we will be shaped willingly. We'll be malleable. We'll let him have his way with us. To be a learning love. So we have a winning love and we have a learning love shaped and goes in God's direction. Psalm 133:1 put it this way: how good and pleasant is the blessing when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant is the blessing of God when God's people, the Trinity family, your friends' family, we work together with your family in unity and in harmony. There's an agreement about a heart, about a life direction that we're going, the teleos, headed in God's direction. There's the learning love to let him shape us. When a family prays together, there's no assurance they're going to stay together unless in our praying together, we let God do regular updates, regular sinking in our lives. And then with every prayer that we give, every day that we're lived, we're seeing a little more clearly about how he's wanting to shape our lives. I mean, it's my privilege this morning to look up, and I knew they might be coming in this weekend from Mississippi. But this is Joe and Beth Duncan, who 38 years ago, I had the privilege of officiating their wedding along the Tennessee River in Knoxville when Vicki and I were doing college ministry at the university and at First Baptist Church. They came in for this weekend because of another family commitment, and Joe and Beth are here. I remember that day. Remember the wonder and the promise. And you've lived it. Highs and lows, you've lived it. Your medical practice there in Mississippi. The Pattersons. These flowers are representative of 57th wedding anniversary. My hunch is that it hadn't always been easy. Yeah. But a shaping force of God bringing his blessing by his presence to be shaped in his ways. That's why a couple makes vows. I mean, I've shared with you that Vicki and I thought we knew, but we knew absolutely nothing that we were saying to each other at the Miller Chapel at Baylor University. To love and to cherish, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, unto you I commit my marital love. Thought we knew exactly what that meant, and we did for being 21 and 22 years old. I won't say who's older and who's younger. But I know a lot more of what that means now than I did then. That's the learning and the shaping force of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we don't get it all figured out when we first say yes to Jesus. But he shows us along the way because he's our Savior. He loves us. He's on our side. He's our Lord. He's going to form and fashion us. But if we always wait, if we're tempted to wait till we get it all figured out, we ain't going nowhere. But if we're willing to be shaped along the way, we will exactly get there. I kind of believe that if a family rides bicycles together, there's a good chance they're going to stay together. A part of our bonding is a family was when we taught Rachel how to ride a bike from training wheels to without her wheels, and she helped Vicki and I to teach Ryan, her younger brother, how to ride a bike with training wheels without holding them. You know how it goes? You kind of go along the sidewalk and you're pushing them and you kind of let go and they kind of do this and they fall and you come up and say, courage, you had courage, and you get them back up on the bike and you kind of walk with them. You walk along the side again and they take off and then it's a little wobbly and then all of a sudden, whoom! They got their balance. And that's a balance that they can keep the rest of their lives. And then when Stephen, our youngest, came along, I really only remember one time trying to teach him how to ride a bicycle because Rachel and Ryan were teaching him how to do that. But we get on our bikes and we would make family bike trips. You know, it's a funny thing about riding a bike. You can remember how to do it if you remember the most important rule. You got to keep your balance, correct? We live in a day and an age where people are always wanting us to be turning right. Or always wanting us to lean left. But if you're always turning right, you're going in a circle. If you're always leaning left, you're going to crash. There are times we have to do course directions, go right, go left. But you get where you want to be because you know how to keep your balance going ahead. The shaping force. Keeping your balance is what God wants to do by centering your life in Him. And thirdly, it is the word we normally think of with the word perfect in the Bible. But it's only one of three. It's an essential one. It's the holiness of God. It's being without sin. But as the author of Hebrews said to the persecuted church, and Jesus was tempted in all the ways that you're tempted and I'm tempted, but he did not sin for a reason. And the reason was, one, it was in his heart desire, but the second reason was so he could be there as a resource for us when we're tempted. There ain't nothing coming your way that Jesus hadn't seen before. I apologize. I typically only say ain't once in my sermon. I've said it twice today. But it is true. There is nothing coming your way that Jesus hasn't seen before, and he is there for you with his, King Jimmy put it, succoring power, his capacity to nourish you through that. Sinlessness is important, but because we're imperfect, we're human beings, God's remedy, his cure, when we have messed up, violating God and each other, is to say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. That's a forgiving love. And then lessons learned, lessons applied. It's not going out and doing it again. It's really because your heart desire is to be different within that. I mean, all of our hearts have been touched by the tragedy that's happened out of the evil acts of a man who was supposed to be trusted as the medical physician for the United States gymnastics team. Larry Nassar's, his court case was shown not only in America but around the world. There's a lady by the name of Rachel Den Hollander. Rachel Den Hollander. When she was 15 years old, this man abused her, and he would for over 100 women. It was sentencing time, as many of you know. He was given up to 175 years. He'll never get out of prison. The last person to speak, and she gave a 36-minute message in the courtroom, was this Rachel Den Hollander. Now, why do I mention this? Because Rachel became a believer. She was the first one to speak out to make the accusation in 2016 about the tragedy that this man had done to all of these athletes. She was the first voice to speak. She was the last voice to speak in the courtroom. And here's what she had to say. That one day, speaking, looking at the accused, if the gravity of what you've done really gets to your full awareness, it's going to crush you with guilt. But then you will know the sweetness of Jesus and his power to forgive when you have been so evil in what you've done. And vengeance is mine, says the Lord, as Rachel quoted scripture. And to know that in heaven there can be forgiveness for you there if you'll receive his forgiveness here. She quoted C.S. Lewis, the same guy who said, I can't redo my beginning, but I can begin today to shape a new ending. Rachel gave a word with the world's attention covered by all the major press that highlighted the power of the gospel speaking to the sin-sick heart of our world. Our world hungers for this to know that it's true. Our family life needs to trust this, that we may let the love of Jesus be your sense of love in forgiving each other. Now, there are things that go on in family where maybe only two people need to know, I forgive you. Sometimes you need to have a family meeting. Family I grew up in, we had family meetings from time to time. And I'll always remember my father's willingness to say, I'm sorry. Or my mother being able to say, I forgive you. We all knew there was tension in the household. But having a family meeting where that could be spoken brought an ease to the hurting heart by the healing power of God's grace. It's true of any relationship, every relationship. It's a forgiving love, is the winning love, because it's the shaping love of God in our lives. So the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when I heard the voice of God say, blessed are you, for you and your family together. Let's pray. Thank you that you give us a capacity not to sink going under the water, but to sink up with you. Thank you that you give us the gift by saying yes to your presence in Jesus Christ, that we can know that ultimate update of forgiveness and life as a believer. Be with our families and individuals now. Be with each of us together as a faith family, that we will let this be a holy, sacred moment in your presence for you to do with us as you need to do it. In Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.